Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Photo with Catherine Hall and Leo Laporte. Episode 27, recorded October 4th, 2011. Tamara Lackey. TWiT Photo is brought to you by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. It's time for TWiT Photo, the show that really explores the art of photography with some of the best photographers in the world, starting with our host, Catherine Hall, CatherineHallStudios.com. Catherine Hall.
Hi, Leo.
Hi, Catherine.
Welcome, everyone.
You look exceptionally beautiful today.
Well, thank you, Leo. I actually had my makeup done today, a makeup training.
Oh, you are?
Yes. And if you pull up Sarah Hyde, her website, she's the one that did my makeup. And
interesting.
The one thing I wanted to say, I'm going to do an unconventional tip for the show this week. And if you are shooting a female and you want beauty shots, have their makeup done professionally. I cannot emphasize that more.
Tamara's really shaking her head back there.
It makes such a drastic difference.
But I have to say, there's makeup artists and there's makeup artists. And one of the things that obviously Sarah Hyde does, because she just did your face today,
yes,
is it looks very natural. You look good. You look rested. You look refreshed. Alive, refreshed, but you don't look made up. And I think that even for a bride, I think sometimes I see brides and they really are heavily
made up.
Well,
that's the key. You know, you definitely want to feel, when you look at the images, you want them to look like you.
Yeah.
This
bride, for instance, has freckles, and that's great. And instead of covering them up.
Her freckles are cute and a part of her.
Instead of covering them up, she worked with them, and I think that's really important.
Well, Sarah's a true artist, and when you watch her work, you can feel it.
So welcome to TWiT Makeup. It's a whole new show.
Yes, it's a whole new show. We're going to talk about how to get your makeup done. So anyway, importance of a makeup artist, very, very key. But we also have a huge announcement.
It's the TWiT Photo Guest Quest. Look at Trish got it already up there on the website.
I know.
Isn't
we
that
love
great?
Trish.
She's so fast. So we've had great guests, including our guest coming up in just a little bit, Tamara Lackey. Such good photographers on the show, but we realize many great photographers also watch the show.
This is true.
And maybe aren't well known yet, but deserve to have a guest spot.
Yeah, I mean, I've been noticing there's so many photographers out there that have brilliant work, that have beautiful, but they just haven't had their break yet.
Right.
And they just don't have that exposure.
So we want to give you a break.
Yes, we do. So.
So how?
The
so
name.
You can't enter the contest yet. We're just giving you a heads up so you can start looking at your portfolio, thinking about what you're going to do. You're going to be looking for a portfolio of about 15 to 20 images.
Yes.
Showing a cohesive body of work, a visual style. You could put them on Google+, Facebook, 500px, or Flickr, any site. But details about the judges, the submission guidelines, and the criteria all come next week on TWiT Photo. We just wanted you to get ready. And if you go to CatherineHall.net, go to her blog, and you can see the information that you need right now. And you'll be able to enter there.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
exciting. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And we don't even know what day you'll be on. It'll depend on your availability, of course. But we'll get you on the show and show your work to millions.
Yeah. So that's it should be good.
I love that. Do you have a featured post on today's blog? Or
no, it's just the contest.
You didn't do your picture of the week, Catherine?
I was giving the limelight to the contest.
Oh, good. I like that. That's your excuse. Tell us about our guest today.
All right. So today we have Tamara Lackey, and I've been following her work for a while. She does a wide range of imagery, but I was more interested in bringing her in for her children work. And the reason why is she is absolutely brilliant at what she does, and she gets such engaging, authentic, genuine emotions and just feelings from children. You look at their images and they're vibrant, and I want to know how she does it.
Well, let's
and I want to share with our viewers.
Let's welcome Tamara Lackey to TWiT Photo. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to
Thank
have
you.
Super
very
excited
much.
To have you here today.
Super excited to be here. I wish I were there. I wanted to be in San Francisco.
I wish you were too.
Yeah,
darn
what's up
it.
With that?
Next time.
Did you start doing kid photography when you had kids?
Yes-ish. When I had a newborn and I wanted to photograph her from every angle possible and right. then realized my photographs were terrible.
Aha. Interesting.
So I started deciding to get better.
And this is your daughter. Yeah. This is your daughter right here.
Yes, that was her a few years ago. She's now 9.
She's so pretty. So that's inspiring to take pictures of your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, newborn or not, it's great to have photos of her.
Yes.
So how did you get better? What did you do to, I mean, you wanted better pictures. How does a pro, you were already a pro, address a challenge like that?
I think I was very interested in exactly what Catherine was talking about, more of the emotion and the spirit and actually authentic imagery and very authentic.
Yeah.
What I realized is that I needed to spend a lot more time studying how to get in whatever position was necessary so I didn't interrupt the flow of what was happening and that I could be technically savvy enough to shoot from any angle and any sort of lighting situation and whatever expression was thrown my way. And so a lot of my focus and concentration was on not only getting better technically, but also being able to read children in a much more expedient manner.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Catherine, you take a lot of pictures of kids,
yeah.
too. On the one hand, they're probably more open than adults are, right? I mean, is it faster to get, Tamara, is it faster to get kids to that point than it is to get adults to that point?
Well, they're more raw. You don't right. have to work as hard to get past all the social barriers that we have set up for ourselves as adults where we say, hi, how are you? How are you?
I love this picture. Yeah. I love this picture. But now this child is so young, he's pre-verbal, right? You can't give him instructions.
Correct. Yes.
So what do you do?
This was him just being done with me and the shoot and the whole situation.
He says, okay, I don't know what you're doing, but I don't like it one bit.
How long typically do you have with a child before they get to that phase?
Some within the first minute to the next hour and a half, and some in the last couple minutes. I mean, it varies so much based on children and their personalities. And there are times where the best parts of the whole shoot are going to be in the first 5 minutes and others where it won't happen for another 3 hours.
Right. Or as you said, with that little boy, it wasn't until you were about to leave and he said, I'm done with you. Now, this is a great picture because she's clearly posing for you. She's looking right at you.
Yes.
She's posing, but it's genuine.
It is, because what we started with was the I'm going to pose for you look, which is not anything I'm really interested in capturing. And what we moved into was me kind of battering her enough that we got her to a place where she could look more genuine and honest and bemused, which is what I was going for.
So what do you mean by battering?
That sounds so violent. I just realized that a couple of things. One, I think I am actually comfortable with being teasing and tickling and playing. And I've had people comment that can be something that's a little easier for a woman than for a male photographer. I'm not sure that's exactly true. But in terms of that, I don't mind running up and jumping and doing scare tactics and surprising. But it's silliness with a purpose. There's silliness, and then I jump back to a landing, and I know I've got my aperture stuck, and I'm ready to go when I get what I want.
So how much engagement are you having typically with the children? Are you interacting? I mean, is there that play the entire shoot, or are you letting them do their own thing?
The entire shoot, because my concern is that one of my first purposes with every shoot with children is to get past their lens awareness.
Yeah. That's so true with everybody.
With everyone.
Right. Except a trained model. Everybody else. Mm-hmm. It's about getting them to forget you're taking a picture.
Yes. Yes, very much so. And with children, they're a little less... They're so conditioned, and we're going to get into that later, but they're a little less concerned of, do I look cheesy? They just give you what they think you need. And it looks staid, and you want to shake them out of that. And so I won't even lift a camera up sometimes for a good 10, 15 minutes until I get past that stage.
So you relate to them without a camera in your hand.
Absolutely. And most of the shoot is with my face to the side of the camera and then moving it over at the last second if I want some in-camera looks. But I do have a lot of off-camera looks where they're actually looking directly at me and laughing at me, but they're looking off to the side from the lens.
So here's a good example of a girl looking right into your lens, looking at you, and she's obviously aware of you taking a picture, and yet she's engaged, she's happy, she's smiling. I mean, it's a wonderful picture. It really is Beautiful. It looks like you're at the beach here. Is it easier to shoot in a location like this than in a studio?
It is. And actually, this is in the Christie Field, you know, that beach right there?
Yeah, I love it.
That's where this was shot. I was out there last year and I did some shoots out there. And this is literally me holding the camera out in front of me, like very physically far from me, and her tracking me. And so if you look at this image closely, you look especially around her eyes, it's a little soft. It's not a super sharp image.
Right.
But I think that's what works for the feel of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, portraiture especially, I don't think sharpness is the first thing you're looking for, is it? It's not a technical picture. It's a picture about emotion.
Right.
So, Tamara, when you're getting them warmed up in that initial stage.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. I have a moment.
That is beautiful. That's Chrissy Field again. That is beautiful.
Yeah. Actually, no, this is Bald Head Island off of North Carolina.
I was going to say, that does not look like Chrissy Field.
Yeah.
It's not cold enough.
Yes, there's dolphins out here.
Oh, wow. Is that, that is, any family would be so thrilled to have that picture.
Yeah. And I actually love this one because this was at the very end of our shoot. Our shoot had gone on for quite a while. And this was a spontaneous thing. I didn't say, now everybody hug. It was more of a silly thing. And the actual moment was very quick. But the way that their son jumped up and, you know, I moved away a little bit, and I love how the light kind of arcs around them at their, around their legs. That ended up being one of those moments that I was just glad I was there for.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh. And this one, this was in, I was leading a workshop in Las Vegas, and this little girl was terrified. She was our model. And there's, you know, 40 cameras being pointed at her.
Oh, God.
And yeah, she was already very shy. And part of what I speak to is the different personality types in children. And one of the personality types you find is the super shy child. There's the shy child, and then there's the super shy child. And you take that and you multiply it times 40 lenses, and you have quite a little meltdown about to happen. And what I wanted to show in this workshop is how if you can engage directly enough with the child in a way that you become the filter for all this noise behind you, which I would have considered all these other lenses, they can be with you and let that tune out and trust you enough. Even again, just for these little shy moments. And then this is the perfect example of what I was talking about, where I'm off to the side and so she's looking at me, and that's what the shot is. I'm off to the side of the camera, and I'm clicking. So it looks like she's looking over the edge a little bit. She's actually looking directly at me.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you have a child that's so shy that they really, really just, they run away. Like they don't want their picture taken.
Oh, nothing you can do about that.
No, I mean, that happens, right?
No, you can. You chase them. You chase them.
Is that
them
when you batter them? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Down.
No. But you continue to engage even if they say, oh, no, I don't want to do this.
What do you do if they run away and they're just like, I don't want my photo taken?
Yeah. So probably the number one mistake I see being made with people photographing children is they don't give enough time. You need to be very patient.
Yeah.
You need to recognize we're going to go through swings. You need to tune into the energy of a shoot, which is hardly ever constantly up, and build in things like breaks. And it's like an endurance event. You want food, you want water, you want sugar. And you want to be able to weather some of these mini storms. And a child running away from you or saying they're done or sick of it or, you know, that's all part of it. And what I tell parents often, and that's like a whole other thing we can talk about, but preparing parents usually involves letting them know that we're going to let this happen.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay with the fact that there are no rules right now.
Right. And it may take a while.
Yeah. And what else do you inform parents? Like, what else do you say to the parents to prep them for the session?
I've been quoted as saying that, this is not the time to be raising moral humans.
Give them candy.
I truly believe that. It's like we're here for an end goal, and I don't really care what happens in the 2 hours we're together. So let's not worry about that. And they can say whatever they want to me. They can be as disrespectful as possible. Please don't call me Miss Tamara or anything like that.
Plus, parents can shut things down by saying, you didn't say please.
Yes.
Sit still.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I'm surprised you let parents even be there.
Well, that's my next question is, do you let parents be there and how involved are they?
I very much let them be there, and for a reason. I actually, and again, I've heard people debate this differently. In most circumstances, not all, but in most circumstances, what I am doing is leveraging the connection the child already has.
Okay.
And so I am best friends with the parent. I am somebody that the parent kind of seems to know very well, and that's me usually faking it.
Right.
That the parent seems to know very well, and thus the child can more quickly trust me because I seem to be a known entity. So I very much use the child, but the parents to connect to the child, but the parents also know that that they're not going to be doing things like quiet or sit down, or you shouldn't do that. And I'll even do role play with parents ahead of time where we'll role play. I'll say, okay, let's just do a little situation. Let's say, for instance, they are literally like pulling my hair. You're going to want to do what? Say no, stop that. What are you going to do?
Right.
I'm going to turn around. I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to pretend I didn't see it. Right. Yes, exactly.
Here's a great shot of the kids. You're obviously the camera's in one place and you are in another place.
Yes, yes.
Because they're all looking over to the left there. And what's great is the three girls in the back, you know, they're jumping or something. It's the little boy in the front that's really fun and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He almost looks a little bit to me like, what have I gotten myself into here?
Yeah. He's a little skeptical. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And this is a perfect situation, too. The parents are behind me to the left jumping.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering. I felt like there might be a story here. So the girls are emulating the parents, jumping up and down. And the boy's going, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, he's kind of like hiding, trying not to get stepped on.
Isn't that great? And the juxtaposition is fantastic. And this is not a beach. This is not a circus. This is an alley.
This is an alleyway with, you know, stepping over broken bottles and cigarette butts and other sundry items that shouldn't be out there. In the mornings after an alley has been used.
Oh, my God. But why the alley? You were looking for something gritty?
Because it's cool looking. Yeah, there's great light. I mean, you've got light coming from under. You've got it bouncing off the sidewalk. I have a little pop of light from my reflector. It's extremely well lit. I really love shooting in alleys.
That's great.
So what are other tactics are you using to get this sort of energy and engagement? That are you playing games with them? Are you what are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm very big into bribes, and I will promise whatever it takes, regardless of whether or not I can actually pay up.
Like, and, what's an example of a bribe?
See, this is a mom talking. You have to be a mom to get this, and I completely get this.
I'm really feeling this.
It's
here.
All about your experience. Having been a mom, you know bribes work.
Yes, I am not a mom, so I am learning here.
They do. It's and that actually, yeah, I was going to make a man joke there, but
I've bribed, but I've watched my wife bribe, and that's where I've learned about this technique.
Yes, and they don't have to be subtle bribes.
No, you know, no,
they're right out there.
Pure.
All right, give me a bribe. I want to know a bribe. Example.
I will give you $10 if you stand right there.
My wife does that all the time.
So you say that and then you just don't give them the $10?
Often no. But what I will do is I will give smaller amounts and say, I totally thought I had that on me. So I will give out like dollar bills or something. I will say, we're going to do ice cream afterwards, right? And I'll look up at the parents and they're like, mm-hmm, you know. And so things like that. And again, I prep the parents ahead of time that we want to make this something worth shooting for. Because there's two things I'm looking for in a shoot. One is that the experience is one that everybody's enjoying it. And so that when the parents come back to me, they're like, you know, that did not suck nearly as much as I thought it was going to.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And then number two is the fact that we need end products from this. We need this to have strong results.
This is such a great shot. They're in the water. It's rushing around them. They're all happy. The little girl on the left is screaming.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. This is a mother and her daughters, I take it.
Yeah, actually, it's a mother, daughter, and her little niece. And the other mother did not want to get in the water. And and they were this was the best thing about this shot is they did get walloped by the next one.
Oh, no.
Here it comes.
It was fantastic. Yeah.
This is so great, though, when you can get a parent involved in the picture like this. That's so
fun. Yeah. And I do love that. I think most parents are just grown up kids who are don't have enough time in their schedule for fun.
Right.
And if so we can create more of that in this experience and they're getting what they want, it's kind of triple win.
You shoot really fast, a lot of images in burst mode or?
Yeah, how much are you fire?
No, I'm not. I shoot simply because I can't handle that in editing. But I do shoot, I do one shot and I do the one shot mode most of the time. And I'll do burst mode on like someone's jumping off a rock, for instance. I want to get a quick series.
Right.
In terms of shots, like a normal, I know, I love this.
Did you offer that cat a $10 and not give it to him? I think that's a failed bribe
in that
picture right there.
Is Tony a cat lover?
We'll just leave it at that.
That's the best picture. I tell you, I love that. It's not Catter Day, but we're going to show it anyway. That's great. That's a failed bribe. Cat realized he wasn't going to get the gelato.
So sad.
Yeah, it does. Doesn't it look like the saddest cat?
Yeah. Oh, I love this one. This is a surprised little boy.
Yes.
Again, nonverbal, so you have to do it with... What do you do? You'd have teddy bears and go...
Do you have parents with these kids?
Well, this one specifically, children, especially babies, are natural mimics.
Yeah.
So you keep throwing things out, you're going to get one back.
You make faces. Got it.
Yes. And I call this one, I can't believe I'm off the breast.
Oh, I love it. That's so cute. Oh, my goodness. Parents must love these when they get your proofs back. They must just go crazy. Are you taking these for parents or are these models? Are you doing these for yourself?
These are, except for like a couple children who join us for workshops who aren't models. They just come with workshop participants often. Every one of these are clients.
Clients. Great.
Yeah, clients or my kids, randomly. These are, and again, I think most photographers you speak to probably have a similar feeling, but these shots need to also be something that we want to do and shots we want to take and something we're interested in getting. And it can't just be for the client or else we can't keep doing this.
Well, this is a good example. Yeah. You obviously had this location in mind because of these great trees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a interesting photograph on its own, you know, the geometry and the...
What about photographing children inspires you, Tamara?
I get them better than anybody else I get. I think it's that complete... straightforward, here I am in every part of me and I'm not going to, you know, hide it. It's interesting to me because there's a certain age where you see children start to become a little more conscious of what's expected of them.
Yeah.
And it's almost a little painful to watch mm-hmm. because you kind of want to just wash that off and say, mm-hmm. just be your own self because you're gorgeous, you know?
Yep.
To me, children are so much easier that way. And I always found that I would gravitate towards children, whether I was when I was shooting weddings or if I'm at a party or just randomly walking down the street, they're just easier for me to get.
Catherine, I think the same thing happens to you. I've seen wedding photos where you end up taking a picture of the little boy in front of the car.
Yeah.
You must have that same kind of.
Definitely.
These are the real people at this event.
And that's why, you know, I'm actually driven towards children and older people. Because older people, it's kind of like that cycle. They don't care anymore either.
Right.
And they're just sort of free in a sense.
Right.
So
it's really the tragedy of humanity is you grow up and you lose that wonderful childlike simplicity. Although when you see these moms with their kids, you can tell that they're vibing off the kids. They're really,
I love this. This woman, so I photographed her, you know, wedding and her first child and her, you know, the whole
neat.
It is so neat, actually.
So, Tamara, you've mentioned that children have the same emotions that we do, you know, as adults. They have fear, they can feel alone, they can feel sad. How are you working with these emotions during your photo shoots?
I'm encouraging the full spectrum of expression.
You don't want just happy shots. In fact, I've noticed quite a few in here, surprised, you know, bemused, pissed off. You know, I love that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, Catherine, I heard you comment, I can't remember when we were talking or if I heard you just say it about that people have asked you if you're a photojournalist and you said, well, not really.
Yeah.
I would say in the same way, I want to have, what I'm drawn to in photojournalism is the realism and I want that, but I also want to look good. And I want to be shooting something from the right angle and I want the right lens and I want the right lighting. And I don't think of that as, you know, as pure photojournalism.
This is an interesting, now I guess we can get a little technical here. Obviously, there's a lot of great bokeh and depth of field here. And this is a pretty wide open shot. Do you like to shoot wide telephoto? I do.
This is a shot at 1.2. It's the 85 millimeter shot at 1.2.
Oh, you go 1.2 with kids. That's ballsy.
That is because focusing is miserably difficult.
You know, nobody uses that word for children's photography. I really appreciate you saying that.
Man, you're ballsy, Tamara.
It is ballsy. You thought of those kids.
Darn right it is.
Yeah. So, well, and the reason is it's so hard to focus at 1-2.
Yeah, you're just really using it.
Are you shooting this? This isn't wide open, though.
No, she said 1-2.
No, that's 1-2.
This is at 1-2.
She's at 1-2.
You should be able to check the check
me out. I don't know if I checked the EXIF. I believe you.
So, Tamara, the 85-1-2 is your favorite lens. What about it? What's magical to you about it?
Besides its price.
Yeah.
That's what's not magical.
This shot, I can't do this with my 24-70 2.8, even though that's a great workhorse lens and I can use it everywhere. The ability to step back and quickly get those backgrounds and to be able to hone in. And it's the crispness of the shot is unparalleled in my experience to any other lens.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so gorgeous.
That being said, I have a rapidly approaching second favorite, which is the 35-1.4.
You like fast.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really very different. So when would you use the wide and when would you use a slightly telephoto?
That's an excellent question.
I'm just curious.
I have an actual reason. The reason I start wanting to use the 85 more and more, I've noticed, is that I like being clips. I like being right here and just seeing what we have. Wow, my hands really look huge. I'm going to do that, don't they?
Give me a 35.
That's a wide-angle lens on that camera.
Yeah. That would be the Mac. But the 35 allows me to be really close and still get those beautiful shallow depth field. And the 85, again, I love those shots, but I have to be a little farther back or I have to crop in tighter than I always prefer.
Right. You were used to say, Catherine, that the 85 is kind of the beauty lens, right? The portraiture lens.
Looks,
I mean, this is amazing. This is a gorgeous shot. Yeah.
Tamara, do you really shoot in JPEG?
Don't tell me that.
I know. Well, I don't shoot every single thing in JPEG. If I'm shooting something that I know
will be the size of broke his heart.
You're making me sad.
The show's over now.
Okay, no, I'm thrilled because everybody shoots in RAW. Why do you shoot in JPEG?
That's another great question. I shoot in JPEG because I can, because I feel really good about nailing my exposure and it keeps my workflow fast.
That's true.
And I keep my files at the size I need for what I produce, which is usually no more than a 40 by 60.
Right.
So in that respect, JPEG is what I've got what I need. If I'm shooting a bigger commercial shoot or something where I'm just not going to take a chance and I'll throw in a RAW file, but, 99.85% of the time I have exactly what I want in the exposure range. I don't think I want it.
But do you feel like the latitudes?
Hey, that's Joe Montana.
JPEG.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Joe Montana acting like a kid. Okay.
I don't know how he got in there.
He snuck in. Hey, Joe.
that actually does fit. He does have a very kid-like personality.
He does.
How did you transition? Actually, that's a good question. Now that we have Joe Montana.
Right. Obviously, you don't just do kids photography.
Yeah. No, I shoot quite a lot of adults and notables, if you will.
You do celebrity photography.
How did you
get
notables in your book?
How do I get notables? Well, they're all different stories, this one, I was photographing him for Endurance Magazine, Fitness Magazine. Do you want me to just go through a list of people at how or?
No,
yeah,
just
they're
like,
all different situations.
If you're a photographer out there that's, has their genre and but they'd like it to break into celebrity portraiture or move in that direction, what are some ways in which people may navigate that?
Okay. So one great way, of course, and not necessarily the easiest way, is to align with a publication, and be able to be commissioned for work that somebody already secures for you. That's obviously the easiest way to get access.
This shot was a commission shot or
she has an interesting story about this one.
Yes, I have a great story. Thank you, Catherine. This story is I had decided back in, when was the year? 2008? So 2008, I had decided that my goal for the year was to take a portrait of Senator Barack Obama, who was going to run for president and hopefully make president by the end of the year, which was my declaration. So I decided I was going to do that, but I had no leads or connections or, anything to him. And so I basically mapped out this whole process where I would get on the campaigning trail and I would take shots and I would make them, hopefully strong enough that they would work for certain magazines and such. And then I got to be able to, get a press pass by shooting for, Endurance Magazine again. And then that led to me doing a spread for Rangefinder magazine. And then that led to me being hired by the Obama campaign to shoot some of the behind the scenes things and the meet and greet events and actually being able to turn that around to selling those portraits that I photographed. And then that led to me getting some time with him to photograph him.
That's great. Great picture. Did you have to jolly him along? Did you have to bribe him with the sweets or anything?
I promised him I'd vote for him.
That probably was a good bribe.
She's been quoted for he won because of the photos.
Oh. That's right.
Clearly.
Only reason. Well, yeah.
That's interesting. I want to get back to the JPEG thing. So,
yeah, me too.
I guess that means that you don't do a lot of retouching, right?
I do. I don't obsessively retouch. I kind of like that. Well, you're looking at my photographs. I like it to feel a little more natural.
Yeah.
I don't do a lot of illustrative work to my images in terms of layer upon layer upon layer. And so in that respect, I Photoshop everything I turn around to a client. Don't get me wrong. It's never like directly out of camera. But I don't spend a significant amount of time in post.
Right.
So, but from an exposure standpoint, isn't the latitude greater with a RAW file than a JPEG file? And do you find that to be
yes.
a hindrance for you at any time?
No. But like 4 or 5 years ago, more like 6 or 7 years ago, probably. Yes, I had more problems with it. And I was shooting more in RAW then than I am now.
Interesting. I think that shows a lot of confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you're shooting JPEGs, it's like, I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to get the shot.
Exactly.
And I don't need to worry about white balance. I don't need to worry about exposure, because I know I'm going to get the shot.
See, that's why I shoot raw.
That's why I shoot raw. Yeah.
But I think there is something to the fact that, you know, really, if you're going to say that this is your profession, you better freaking know this stuff. And
should be nailing it in camera.
I do feel that way in a lot of respects, actually.
Wow. Even dogs, you're good with animals too. Oh, I love that. Look at that.
Thank you. I actually shot this live on Creative Live.
Oh, that's neat. So you had a shoot that people could watch.
Yes, exactly. So we went out in the streets and it was raining and freezing in Seattle. And I went out with a family and we literally walked up and down the street to see what we'd get. And we got the shot along the way.
Wow.
Oh, great. Wow. So, Tamara, you have she's a very philosophical person, actually, Miss Tamara. And she really has never been one to seek others' approval. And one example of that is when she got married, she's Ukrainian, and 90% of her family wouldn't come to her wedding because she married a non-Ukrainian and broke the line. Is this true?
I married a mutt is what I did.
Not an actual mutt. You married a human, right?
Not an actual mutt. Yeah, just saw his picture.
Yeah,
actually.
His picture was just showing up.
Where is his picture? I got to find it now. This dog is yours?
Oh, no. So the question I have going off of
that. Don't judge him.
Yeah. How has that sort of desire, you know, not to necessarily conform to the norm or to be always looking for others' approvals, how has that affected your photography?
Oh, well, because I look like an idiot when I'm shooting.
That's good.
I do.
You're willing to look like an idiot.
Yes. Because the camera's not on me, unless it's actually on me while I'm shooting. But for the most part, I'm the one in charge of this end result, and I will do what it takes to get the end result.
So what are a couple things you'll do?
Like anything. I've had rocks thrown at me. I've gone, you know, all the way to my neck in the water holding the camera over. I just did this in a workshop in Bar Harbor. I rolled down a hill because I promised the kids I would do it. And there's a lot of photographs of me doing it. And it was a long hill and it didn't look very good.
So you don't have to hold on to your dignity anymore.
No, I let go of that a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever completely secured it.
Well, I think, you know what, this all is of a piece. It's a commitment to your art and you just commit it and you do what you need to
get a shot like this.
Beautiful shot. And just the way you capture these kids is truly impressive.
Thank you. This is another example where I had the camera probably about chest level.
I could see, she's looking up at you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I happen to be positioned where the light's coming in best.
Yeah, just fantastic. Just really.
Did you start off shooting that way, or were you looking through the viewfinder and then kind of as you got improved as a photographer, you started doing it from the side?
Oh.
The answer is B. As I improved, I got better at doing that and knowing how to hold the camera and how steady to hold it, even though there's a lot of motion happening. And this picture showing right now, this photograph is that same little girl I told you who is supremely shy.
Yeah.
This is the same girl. This is the before I got her to shyly, you know.
You could tell she's a little scared, a little,
she was.
A little
really
trepidation there. Yeah.
Thank you. She's actually sitting in a window, so she's backlit, and I've got a reflector bouncing light back, and I'm shooting this with a, this is probably actually the 24-70 lens.
You shoot a Canon?
I do. I shoot the Canon 5D Mark II most of the time.
That's a heavy camera to hold away from your head. And you're not looking at the viewfinder, so you also have to kind of know where that shot's going to be, especially with an 85. You kind of have to aim it, and boy, that's tough.
Don't you use the 1D sometimes too? And why would you use that camera?
I do. I shoot the 1D Mark II sometimes, which, you know, gosh, that's like a six-year-old camera now. The 1D Mark II I will use because it has probably the most toned, perfect, I've been able to set it and calibrate it as perfectly as possible to the clean look of the imagery I want. It's just not as technically strong, of course, anymore now, especially with noise and managing noise issues.
This you could tell is the 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. The choice of focus is fantastic.
Thank you.
I love that. What is that, a ferret?
It sure is. You can smell that thing from a mile away.
Wow. And but it's just, that's real. Now, is that luck, a little serendipity that you had the focal length there, or were you going for that?
I was going for that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. What I wanted, because there's
very impressive.
Again, so many images, the standard one is them both looking, you know,
right.
And
yeah,
you wanted to. And I'm pretty big to, I don't ignore those. I secure those because sometimes those will make the parents happier than the ones that make you happy. But I think you need to get both.
Right.
Yeah,
well, the parent may not like this because this is really about the ferret as much as it is about the girl.
Yeah.
But I think it's, as a photo goes, this is a very interesting, good photo.
Well, that's a really good question. Is what do you find the parents gravitate towards liking? More the energetic style ones or the more posed ones?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, when I have parents ask me to take photographs that aren't my style, I don't ever see that as something that I'm not, you know, that I'm above.
Oh,
like,
good.
I'll shoot whatever they ask for. They're the client, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely will do a full range of photographs, and they're just not the ones I want to continue to shoot. So those aren't the ones I put in my galleries. And then so I bring people in by the ones I see in my galleries. And
right.
What I end up giving clients is usually a good combination.
I love that little girl. Oh, my goodness.
I do too.
Oh, my goodness.
So cute.
Oh.
So, Tamara, how often are you actually posing them or just letting them? Are you just playing with them?
Well, this was a brilliant image that was taken after the photo shoot was finished at the last second. Her mom wanted to change her into this wool dress. And she'd done so well the whole shoot. And then we put the dress on and we just locked her.
It's scratchy and she does not like it.
Yeah. And this is, and this was, you know, back to what the parents do and don't want. They did not love this image. They loved the other ones.
They want the happy girl. Yeah.
But
this is a great picture. And I'll tell you what, this is what the girl's going to love 30, 40 years from now.
The parents too. The parents too.
Well, the parents, they just need to separate from that emotional reaction to tantrums. So at 5 years later, which is about, I think, when this image ended up being like a full page in a photography magazine, I brought it over and showed it to them. And instead of it being like, it was more like, look at those cankles.
Cute little lips. So
that's a really good point. 5 years later, the parents realize we want to remember every bit of this little girl and not just the happy moments.
Yeah. And that's actually a big reason why I have a lag time between when I do shoots and when I turn my shoots around is because as much joy and fun and adventure as a shoot can be, it can also be frustrating and kind of go on a while and this and that. And you just need a little time to let that drop away.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful too. Really great stuff. We're going to, we're talking to Tamara Lackey about her work, about taking pictures of kids, and you have some tips for us,
yes,
which
she
we'll
does.
Get to in just a little bit. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Netflix.com. It is a great way to watch. You know, I just saw there are more TV shows on Netflix streaming. I didn't know this. Than there are movies. Somebody must have counted, because there's like tens of thousands of both. But there are more TV shows. And I realize that. I watch. In fact, I will often, for instance, Breaking Bad. I'm watching, catching up with Breaking Bad. And I will always go to Netflix first and see, oh, I hope they have this on the streaming so I can watch it. And they very often do. Mad Men, Glee, Breaking Bad, The Office. There's hundreds of Office episodes. Go to Netflix.com right now. And that's not it, but it's a nice shot. It may be where you're watching Netflix.com. Go to Netflix.com right now. I've overloaded this computer and it's no longer pulling up anything. And you could take a look at all the great, here we go, all the great TV shows, movies, classics, foreign films, kids' films, SpongeBob, Leapfrog, Shaun the Sheep, The Secret Life of an American Teenager. And you'll see that this is for $7.99 a month. Boy, is this a great deal. Watching Searching for Bobby Fischer, that was a great movie. I loved that. Memento. Oh, Firefly. So here's the deal. You could try it free for 30 days. I know you're all Netflix members, but if you're not, go to netflix.com/twit, and you'll have 30 days free. You can see if you like it. And if you're already a member, tell a friend. Do us a favor. Spread the word. I watched this movie, this show, The Riches, was great, with Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver. They're a family of grifters that take over the life of another family, and it's quite an amazing show that you might have missed. Arrested Development is on here, Futurama, The Blues Brothers.
I
want to
watch Breaking Bad because of you.
Oh, yeah. Well, get ready, because he really breaks bad.
Can you type in Win-Win and see if it's on there?
Yeah, is that one of Tamara's favorite movies?
Yes.
Is it Win-Win one word? Yeah, no, two words.
That's it, right?
Let's see. Win-win. Let's see if it's on streaming. It isn't, but you can get the DVD. When a down on his luck part-time high school wrestling coach becomes the guardian of an elderly man, holy cow, his ward's troubled grandson turns out to be a star wrestler. And oh, this is a complicated movie. That sounds great.
Tamara's smart. Yes. Paul She's Giamatti. Smart. She likes the clever movies.
Yeah, I love Paul Giamatti. And Jeffrey Tambor's in this. I'll watch it. So there you go. Netflix.
Yeah, and that description doesn't do it justice. It's fantastic.
I'm going to add it to my DVD queue. And actually, see this? Netflix knew I would like it based on my interest in Crazy Heart and wordplay. Netflix.com/twit. Watch it. Enjoy it. Sign up today. We thank them for their support of Twit Photo.
So Tamara has some really good tips. Shall we launch right into them?
Let's launch into Tamara's tips.
So number one is meet the child where they are.
So would you explain what you mean by that? Actually, is that number one? Wait a minute. There it is. Okay. What do you mean by that, Tamara?
Often photographers may have a preconceived notion about how a shoot is going to go and what the poses will be and where the locations will be and all that sort of thing. I think obviously being prepared is very important, but also just allowing the situation to unfold based on how the child is naturally. We're going to go into this.
Well, do you want to show? Is this an example
of? This is a different tip.
This is a different tip. All right. I saw a show video. That's why I was going to the video. I apologize. We'll go back here.
Yeah, he said video clip, and he was like on it.
I was ready to do a video clip.
You are very on it.
We'll save that for the next one.
Leo's experienced. Okay, so you were saying.
Experienced, but dumb, because I did the wrong thing.
Preconceived notion of how the shoot's going to go.
Yeah, and I think I like to leave a significant amount of it open to seeing who the child is and how this is really going to play out and being able to just navigate it on the fly. And that also keeps it more interesting for me. But taking advantage of established connections, what I talked about earlier about leveraging the parents, leveraging that relationship, I will also do that when it comes to the older siblings, for instance, in this situation that we're about to see. This child is the youngest, and she is the more reserved, quiet child who's very apt to just run off the set, as I call it, our little background. She's very apt to just run off the background into mommy's arms and not look back again for the rest of the shoot. And so what I needed to do was be sure that I could get the older kids to help me get involved.
So here you are in the seamless. And you're shooting wireless. Is that for the lights, or do you also send the pictures back to a laptop? There's that technique, by the way, of holding the camera off your eye.
There it is.
Look at that. Look
and if you want to turn the sound up on this, this actually ends up speaking like how I speak to them. If you want to back up for a second,
sure.
I'll show you like some of the conversation actually ends up being pretty relevant because, yeah.
You're tickling.
Okay. And then you come here. Okay, ready? You are not putting your lips on your cheek.
Oh, turn that down a little bit.
One, on three, you pucker. Ready? One, two, three.
Oh, that's so cute.
Good job. Okay, do you want to take a break? Get off the set? Or you want to stay on the set? Stay on the set? Great.
Right, so the older girls are into it.
Ready? You come here.
The older girls are really into it. The oldest one is extremely into it because she wants to be the model.
Yeah, you could tell.
The middle one is a crazy good, like an insane.
So you using them to get the little one? Yeah, that's fine. They're loving it.
Very much so.
They don't mind.
Very much so. Yeah, because they have jobs.
Right.
They have jobs and they can navigate this.
I just want to point out how comfortable the older one is with you. She's got her hand on your knee there. I mean, she's completely comfortable with you.
Yes.
They're having fun. This is go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it. That's one of the perks of this is that you actually build like all these little friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. You're all playing together right now. And mom and dad are and off in the corner somewhere or.
Do you feel like exactly, that, Tamara? Do you feel like you're just playing with them during the session? It's a play session.
I do. Well, I do. And I don't. I do in the respect that I know that to keep that play going, you know, to keep them going, the rhythm going, I have to constantly have it be a sense of everything's cool, everything's fine, you know,
right.
We're just going to navigate and shift this.
Right.
I'm very aware that, you know, if I'm shooting, for instance, if you saw just a second ago, the Pocket Wizards had the light flash a few times, but not the third time.
Right.
And instead of stopping saying what happened there, you know,
you're just
I keep going.
But you are in the back of your head. You're always aware of what's going on. You're really working, but keeping this attitude.
Oh,
well.
So you were just looking back like the light.
Yeah.
And this older girl, she's going to pose for me initially, like a really strong pose.
Right.
And I need to shake her out of it because all I'm going to get is that, you know, forced look.
So
I'm shaking out of that. And I think you should have the images queued up that will show you what I actually got during that experience.
Let me go to those.
Resulting photos.
Yeah.
So it looks like a lot of chaos. However, it's very organized.
It is organized. Everyone's in the right spot for lighting. That was the first shot I got where I have them all looking, together and just taking a moment and looking at me.
Oh, my God. These are great. You really.
That's with the other two girls next to me.
Yep. So she's aware of them playing with you, but she's looking right at you now. Not looking at them. That's good. That's great. And now here's the older girl, and then
that's
you got
me
her.
Looking outside, and that was her, yeah.
Yeah, you got her.
But if you look, especially at the single images of that little girl, she is, by all intents and purposes, being anchored by the support of her sisters.
Yes.
And that's what I mean by use the connections that are already in place. Because if they weren't there, I would not have gotten this quite so quickly.
And she's very confident and comfortable and just,
with them and slowly becoming so with me. Yes.
Yeah.
How do you know to work with the connection with the siblings versus the parents? Or do you just kind of play it out each session?
You play it out because sometimes the last thing you want is the siblings around because there's all kinds of, you know, that's another thing I spend a lot of time thinking about. And that's the new book, Catherine, that we were talking about is family dynamics. Family dynamics are so significant with siblings and you can very quickly tell just based on birth order and personality types what you're going to get within like 5-10 minutes. And sometimes the last thing you want is to have the older sibling there or the younger sibling there because they're driving the other one nuts.
Why do you choose black and white sometimes and color sometimes?
It's usually a feel. It's a very quick process for me. Sometimes it's very clear, like if there's conflicting patterns or there's...
But even in the same shoot, some of it's color, some of it's monochrome. It's interesting.
Yeah, I like the idea of the varied. I think simply from a pleasing a client perspective, if you can give them a large variety of work, they tend to be more drawn to a variety of images.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, another tip. That was one tip, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. All right, going to sleep over here.
Give me a tip, quick.
Tip number two, look for the light around you.
Look for the... Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. So I'm often... I shoot a lot in natural light. And one of the first considerations I have is what are we thinking about light? I shoot... 99.99% of all my shoots involve a reflector. 100% when we're out of the studio. And the reason for that is that I know I can control light. I can either diffuse it or I can bounce it however I want, especially with if I have a variety of sizes of reflectors, and I use them often. So in a situation like this, the little cartoons here show you exactly where the shadows are and what you need to focus on when you want to fill in the light with a reflector. And so I'm constantly looking at where the light's coming from, knowing that it's traveling in a straight line, and being aware of where I need to meet it to bounce it back to fill in the shadows.
Do you use a white reflector, a gold reflector? Do you vary?
I am a reflector connoisseur. I have a wide variety of sizes, shapes, and colors, but probably the one I use the most is the Westcott Bruce Dorn reflector, which has got the muslin on one side. I can never say that word. Am I saying it right?
Muslin, yeah.
Muslin?
Yep.
Okay. And then it's got that on the one side, and it's got the silver on the other side. And so I use that a lot because I also have the white and the silver, but I liked having a softer bounce come back, and that's what that provides for me. It's got a soft hold to it.
Interesting.
How are you working with reflector when the kids are moving around
so
much?
Yeah, no kidding. You have a very active assistant.
Yeah.
yeah, I hardly ever shoot portraits with assistants. Hardly
really?
Ever.
Well, then how are you?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
She's got one hand with the camera, one hand with
the reflector.
I'm doing freaking yoga is what I'm doing.
So are you kidding me?
You're holding
the reflector?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. Wow. I'm sure I've got footage from this somewhere, but anybody's ever seen me in a workshop, I'm constantly balancing. I often hold off the top of my foot and lean it over. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not, I don't look good when I shoot.
So, but is that by choice or is it because you feel like you are the only one with this sort of moving, you know, lots of moving around environment, you have to hold a reflector? Or do you think you could have an assistant? What's better?
Oh, I know I could. I have had assistants sometimes. It's very infrequent. And on those shoots, I'm always amazed at how much easier it is in terms of that. I'm like, wow. But the downside for me is now I'm sharing the connection, and there are more places for that, the subjects, especially children, to look. And normally, if it's just me, I can very much get in this energy space where we're all right here together, and that's pretty seamless for me. And that tends to be a little more difficult to do when you add people into the mix.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Your last tip, I love it. Rise above the cheese.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kids will. Older kids, especially, and certainly adults, will go for the cheese. I go for the cheese. I go. Hi. Hey. That's the cheese.
There it is.
Leo specializes in it.
I am Mr. Cheese.
Yes. Well, you know, and I think especially with children, they've been taught that this is what you do. You hear this word, you do this, which is why I don't ever say the word. But the other thing is even the word smile or look happy gives you this preconditioned response that they've been pulling out for years and years. And even aside from the fact that I don't find it particularly attractive or honest, it is also a shot that is already, you know, the number one staple in most of the family albums. And so I don't need to provide an extra one of those. I need to give them something more significant.
Do not say cheese, folks. There's your tip for the day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we got a couple of images that you particularly like that you picked out for us. This one's on the front page of your website as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And this is not, I'm sure, what the client wanted because you can't see their faces.
I know, right?
This is not a portrait. Where's my daughter's face? I paid for a picture of my daughter's face.
Okay. Is that person from New York? Where's that person?
I don't know. But I'm imagining.
It's Leo's a mutt too, I guess.
Yeah.
No, but and yet the silhouette is so gorgeous. I mean, so beautiful and really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So tell us about this shot. How did you get it set up?
She dropped a reflector. It's obvious.
I know.
This was in, I mentioned earlier, Bald Head Island off the coast of North Carolina. I think I've shot there the last 5 years in a row. One of the reasons I love it as a beach location is it's typically very empty and open and extremely natural. So you get to have these wide expanses where it's just you guys on the beach. And it's really beautiful. So in terms of lighting, this was shot later in the day. And we do have the exact same family. And this family, this was especially important, I think, this image, because they were a newly formed family with a single mom and two girls. And I had a lot of them together. We could see their face very clearly and playing on the beach and having fun. But this, to me, just has so much more of a wild, cohesive feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love, and one of the things that that silhouettes, really for me, striking silhouettes convey is this separateness, because you need that to be able to distinguish the shapes and figures, and silhouettes are more attractive when you have that, as opposed to where it looks like just one big clump. And so I liked, you know, separating them out a little bit, but showing them clearly together. And you have this, you know, lovely composition and the wind and the hair and the whole nine yards. I like the shape to the mom's body. This image was, you know, I will definitely say I was going for this, and I was really happy to get it.
Yeah.
So what were you, when you were doing this, were you two top stops under, or what were your camera settings?
I was actually exposed for the sky, and I was shooting, obviously you can tell, under, I was shooting from the ground, and that was shot with a 35-1.4 lens. And this was obviously, you know.
That's hard.
I know.
You're crazy, Tamara. You're holding a reflector and you're shooting at 1.2.
Well, I didn't need a reflector for this one.
No, not for this shot. Not for this shot, but I'm still thinking about everything else.
This was using the 35-1.4 lens, but I shot this at a 3.2.
Right. Oh, okay.
And it was at, at 100 ISO, and 16400.
Wow.
You know, you're basically going just like.
Very fast shutter speed. Yeah, you want to capture that hair and everything. Yeah.
I prefer to refer to it as.
Do you always shoot? You must always often shoot very fast shutter speed. You don't want to.
Unless I'm trying to get a sense.
I mean, with children, as a rule, I'll try never to dip below 100th, because of the fact that you're going to get, you add the heavy camera, the heavy lens, you're going to have unintentional camera shake, and I want to avoid that. So what I'm doing a lot is making sure I keep it over that. But that being said, I definitely have some images, and I think we've seen some, or we'll see some, where I want to convey a sense of movement, and I'm purposely going to drop that. Right. So that I can do that.
Here's another shot that you particularly like. Tell us about this one.
I do. This was a very recent photograph I've taken, and we had done a pretty raucous shoot out on the streets, actually, the streets. We were in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So
the streets, it was literally downtown. On
the street. We were downtown on the streets. No, we're in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And afterwards, we went into a little cafe, donut shop sort of thing. And she was kind of done. She was zoning out. And you know those, and you can probably picture this, looking at somebody who's zoning out a little bit, and you're slowly getting their attention, but they haven't fully given it to you yet?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes. It was one of those moments where they're reluctant to leave that kind of zoned out space because it feels dreamy and restful. But they're kind of coming back to you in a little bit. And that's what this moment was. I was kind of softly pulling her away, and she was just beginning to smile. And that's what the shot was. And I love that, because it felt like genuine dreaminess. And this was shot with a reflector underneath, bouncing back up, which was securing the catch light in her left eye. Shot with a 5D Mark II, 85-1.2. And I was shooting at 1600 ISO, about 3.5. aperture, and 1/100th of a second.
I'm so tempted to run out and buy an 85-1.2.
Wait, 85-1.2?
If I only thought I could get pictures this good, though.
I love it so much.
I have a 50-1.2.
50-1.2 isn't.
But I want the 85 now.
Whole too different.
It's not too horrible.
Let's
as long as we're talking about equipment, we'll just a couple of quickies.
Items. So we've already talked about your number one pick was your lens, the Canon 1.4. Do they make a 1.2, or is it just 1.4?
Oh, it's only 50. This is the 1.4.
Yeah, so they must have
35-1.4. Okay, it's only $1,500.
Exactly where I got mine.
Are you being facetious, or are you?
I am being facetious. No, but I bought the 50-1.2, so I know these are expensive. You get lenses that are that fast, it's going to be very expensive. Yeah.
Right, but the trade-off is then you keep them forever, as opposed to the cameras that you switch out.
I always say, invest in glass. I always buy L lenses, because it is the investment. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And then your camera bag. And I actually think we should talk more often about camera bags, because it really is an important choice. This is a nice-looking bag.
So what made you choose this style of bag, Tamara?
Well, you know, and I have several camera bags. When I'm out shooting, like in a field and stuff, I typically got like the Lowepro Mini Trekker on, or I've got, you know, the Bota bag or something like that. But what I found with this bag, the Kelly Moore bag, what's great about this is that I travel a lot or I'm out and about a lot, and I often have my laptop with me, whether I'm giving presentations or I'm just going to work at a cafe. And I love that I can slip a camera, a lens, an extra battery if I need it in there, and it takes up hardly, it doesn't even disrupt what I was going to do anyway.
It's almost like a purse, actually. It looks beautiful.
I know.
It is, and it's very stylish. It looks good. What's that? Yeah. They have man bags. They do.
I can carry a purse. I'm very liberated.
He's not afraid of what people think of him.
No.
They have purses.
It's too late. They already hate me. So, but this is good. You put a 15-inch laptop in it and a couple of lenses. Looks like
actually my 17-inch goes in there.
Looks like this one's got diapers and a sippy cup in there, right, too. So it's great for a mom.
Just ran.
Yeah, there you go. Diaper and sippy cups. Yeah. There you go, all in one bag. So
that's what I like. I like that it's, and also I'm a hardcore vegetarian, and I love that this is pleather. Like, and it looks gorgeous.
Oh, wow. It doesn't look like pleather. It looks like a nice
It doesn't look like it at all, actually, no. Yeah. So, and I get compliments on it all the time. So
that's great. Kelly Moore Libby Bag, $250, also from Adorama.
Hey, Tamara, really quickly, I wanted to take note of all the series that you've done for non-pro photographers for education. Your Capturing Life series. Can you give us like one or two little teeny teaser tips from your series that is good for non-pros that are working with their own children?
Sure. Yeah. One or two mini tip teasers.
Yes, mini tip teasers.
Okay. All right. On the website, Capturing Life Better, I have, I think, 5 or 6 little, mini tip teaser videos. But some of the easy ones are just about the idea of pre-focusing and getting really comfortable with pre-focusing so that you can be ready for when the shot comes. One of the number one things I hear is, I was just about to get my camera and he looked so adorable. And by the time I took the shot, he was in the other room.
Yeah.
And there's ways just to better understand how your camera works that will prevent that from occurring, regardless of what your camera is. Obviously, some are faster than others, and some equipment's a little stronger than others. But most of them, if you are getting better at pre-focusing, that makes a difference. The idea of composition, it doesn't matter if you're shooting with your iPhone or the best camera on the market. If you can nail composition and think about clean backgrounds and, artistic and aesthetic foregrounds and where your light's coming from and getting yourself to the right spot, it can make a world of difference. And some of my favorite shots I've taken, they're in my, recently are in my Instagram, just
you
taken
have an
with
Instagram?
My iPhone.
Oh, I got to follow you.
Sure do.
What's your Instagram
name? You?
Oh yeah, of course.
Just Tamara Lackey.
Well, I'm going to follow you on Instagram. Yeah. That's great. Wow.
I will follow you. Catherine, are you on Instagram?
Yes, I am.
No.
Actually, with a new iPhone, I'm going to go back on Instagram now that
they have the
new iPhones out.
So, Tamara, we were just on your
By
website.
By the way, I thought that looked good. That new one?
It does.
iPhone?
I'm excited about it. I think that's going to be a great point
and
shoot.
It's really, yeah.
I mean, the existing iPhone is an excellent camera.
The evolvement between the last one and this one was crazy. Yeah. So, can you imagine? We were just looking at your site, and we see you're bopping around everywhere.
Holy cow, do you travel.
You're coming out to Australia. You're going to do a tour in Australia. That's so exciting. I know we have a lot of Aussie listeners, so where is that going to be?
Yay. I'm going to be in – I start out in Sydney on October 7th, 4th, November, 4th, tomorrow. I think it's like – I start in November in Sydney. Then I do a 3-day workshop in Sydney after a 1-day seminar. And then I get down to Melbourne, and do a 1-day, although I think we're just about to add a 2-day workshop in Melbourne. And then I've got a 1-dayer in, and then I've got a 1-dayer in Brisbane. The entire month of November is in Australia and then 2 weeks in New Zealand.
Do you take your kids with you when you do this?
Yeah, the whole family's coming, all three kids.
How fun.
My husband's going to work night and day shift and
You know how to live,
Tamara. It should be fun.
TamaraLackey.com. That's LACKEY. If you want to find out more about the workshops, are you going to do more creative live shoots? That's really cool.
Yeah, I've already done 2. I'm probably going to head back for a 3rd next year.
That's exciting.
And Tamara has a show too. It's called Redefine. It's partnered with Adorama, and that's another great place that you can check her out. And I'm actually going to be on it coming up, which will be exciting.
Yes, Catherine is going to be a guest when we're in New York.
Oh,
and you're going to be wearing your beautiful makeup, right?
Oh, yes. Now that Sarah has taught me how to do my makeup.
Yes. Yes.
If only I could remember.
Tamara, thank you so much for joining us. Just really inspiring stuff.
Super excited to see you in New York.
Yes, I'll see you very soon.
Okay, right. Awesome. Well, have a good one. Thank you.
Tamara Lackey, Lackey, Tamara Lackey.
And next week, we're actually having one of Tamara's buddies on.
Yes, because Tamara, you did a shoot with the one that you took it all off. Yeah?
Or no, wait, what did you say? Tastefully?
The woman I took it all off for.
Yeah.
The woman that we had a tasteful, artful shoot with, yes.
Oh, well, I'm going to be having a
tasteful,
artful shoot.
She's going to be doing a tasteful, artful shoot. Now, you're not going to do it on the show.
You're going to be taking it off for soon.
No, I'm not going to take it off.
You're going to do it on the show?
That's what you say now.
Sue is very persuasive.
She is. Well, Sue is, she just won Portrait Photographer of the Year in Australia, which is a huge honor. She's known as being one of the world's best portrait photographers.
Wow,
and so she is going to come in and she's going to shoot me on Sunday. And then she's going to show, you know, our audience the whole process.
Will she show the before and after too?
She'll show the before and after.
Wow. The before and afters are quite dramatic. These women are very brave to let this.
I'm going to be one of those women. I'm going to be a before.
That is awesome. Sue Bryce, our guest next week. And we'll look forward to seeing Catherine. Oh, natural.
And then also to show the studio where we're going to be shooting. That's really exciting.
Is that on here too?
Yeah, that's the Island SF Jade Studios.
Oh, that was what I showed before. Yeah.
Yeah, for any photographers that need a studio space in San Francisco.
So this is a studio. It's not just
There's all these, if you look at the space, there's all these themed rooms.
Oh,
it's
wow.
freaking amazing.
Wow, that's great.
So anyway, we're going to be shooting there this coming week, and we will debut the photos next week. On TwitPhoto.
Tamara Lackey, thank you for being here. Catherine Hall is at catherinehall.net.
Yes.
And don't forget, next week we will also announce our guest quest.
Yes,
we
get another, details.
One of you, an emerging photographer, as a guest on the show. We have such great guests.
So excited, yeah.
So much fun.
Can't wait to be exposed to more people.
We do this show 1:30 p.m. Pacific. That's 4:30 Eastern every Tuesday on twit.tv. Join us live or watch the show after the fact. In fact, if you've missed any episodes, do go back. And look, because they're timeless and there's so many great photographers.
Subscribe so you get them all. Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next week on TwitPhoto.